Okay, we are on the Gemara Daf Mem Zayin on base. We were discussing backwards and forwards, this whole sugya of Rabbi Yosef, and we came to the conclusion that yes, we understand Rabbi Yosef's proof. Rabbi Yosef managed to prove from Ir HaNidachas that after the people are killed, there is definitely zecher to a kapora at some stage, whether it's following the Misa, the Kavura, some later stage. But the bottom line is they are definitely eventually zecher to a kavura, and if that's the case, why would you not be makriv their korban now? It's true they were rishoyim from the outset, but they're no longer rishoyim because they've now been zecher to a kapara. So all of this seems to show that we have the principle that we've been discussing of dichud: once rejected, always rejected, and therefore, even though they're no longer considered rishoyim, but because they once were, and the korban was rejected, so now too the korban remains rejected. Now, we have some outstanding Rashis that we have not yet learned. So have a look towards the top of the Amud. Remember, we had a discussion. At which point is there a Kavura? Does it require Ikul Basar? Ikul Basar. Now, what was Ikul Basar? Ikul Basar was the decomposing of the guf. Remember, what was the case? Somebody's been killed by Beis Din. He is not buried in the regular Beis HaKvaras. Rather, he's buried in an exclusive, a special Beis HaKvaras for these Rishoim. But after Ikul Basar, when the body decomposes, then his body is exhumed and reburied in the regular Beis HaKvaras. So that would seem to suggest that it's only after that stage that he's zeicher to a kapara. If you remember, we saw yesterday that Rav Ashi said, no, actually the kapara comes before that. When is that? Even before the Ikul Basar. It comes at the stage when there's been a bit of tsar in the keva. When exactly that is, I don't know, but it's obviously an early stage. The question was, if that's the case, why do you have to wait to exhume him until Ikul Basar? Now he said, for practical reasons, no other way to transport the guf. So have a look at Rashi. Towards the top of the Omer, on the wide lines, Rav Ashi Omer, Lo'oilam lo'i bo'inon Ikul HaBasar. Really, you don't need Ikul HaBasar to bring about a Kvura. Elot Sara, it's enough, the distress, the Chibut HaKever Purta. It's enough that there's been some type of distress with the guf languishing in the Kever, and that will bring about a Kapara. Now, if you remember, we saw that the family members of somebody who's been killed by Beis Din do not have the halachas of Avelus. Why not? Says Rashi. V'tama d'loy hoyu mis'ablim. So why is there no chiyuv of Avelus? After all, it's true he was a rasha when he died, but he is zeicher to a kapara later. And the answer is, says Rashi, the reason why they would not mourn, there's no halachas of mourning of Avelos, Mishum di Avelos Mistimas HaGoylel Chayla. This we saw in the Gemara. At which stage does the Avelos kick in? It kicks in at Stimas HaGoylel. Stimas HaGoylel means when you close the keva. Kedatanya Be'elu Megalchin, as we've learned in a Braisa, in Elu Megalchin, which is Masechtas Moed Katan. It says there, Goylel, what is the Goylel? Goylel hu daf. Daf does not mean a page. In this context, it means a piece of wood. Hanosun al ha'orin, which was placed on the coffin. Lekisui as a cover. Va'oison shebedefonois, whereas the walls of the coffin, not the lid, the walls of the coffin, those are called something else. Oison Shebedefonois, Kori Luhu, they're called something else, quote unquote, doifik. So very often you'll see this expression, goylel v'doifik. Goylel v'doifik. So according to Rashi, there is a machlokes, but Rashi says, goylel is the lid of the oroin, defonois are the walls of the oroin. So what will be the final stage? Apparently they buried him in the oroin, but then they placed a lid on the coffin. That is called the goyel. At that point, the avelos, under ordinary circumstances, kicks in. However, if at that point, now this is a very delicate nakuda now. Remember, Rabbi Yisai, things have to be absolutely crystal clear, otherwise we'll have no idea what Rashi is about to explain. Rabbi Yisai, again, what was the process? Somebody was killed by Beis Din, stage one. Stage two, he was then hanged. Stage three, okay, he was buried. When he's buried, and there is the closing of the goyel, under ordinary circumstances, when a regular person passes away, that's the moment that avelos kicks in. This particular person, at this moment, hasn't yet been zeicha to a kapara, because as we've said before, when is he zeicha to a kapara? Well, according to one opinion, only when the guf decomposes. But according to Rashi, what we're learning now is no. It's an earlier stage. It's when the guf suffers in the keva. But it's not at the moment of stimas ha-goyel. So if we press pause at this particular person's burial, at stimas ha-goyel, if you press stop now on the video, at stimas ha-goyel, at this particular moment, is he considered a rosha or a tzaddik? And the answer is he's still considered a rosha,
Russian.
because he only receives his kapara at a later stage, which means, and this is a very, very big
No
yisoi,
avails.
therefore the whole of the avelos is cancelled. Why is the whole of the avelos cancelled? Because there's no such thing as delaying the avelos. It has to kick in at the moment of stimas hagoilo. And if at stimas hagoilo it could not kick in, why could it not kick in? Because at that moment he was a rasha. And even in the event that he later becomes a tzaddik, you don't now say, fine, so we'll now begin the avelos. So this is a very critical yesod that Rashi is explaining, which is really in the Gemara. The Gemara said this, that hoil v'idchu yidchu. So look at Rashi now. Yes, Ravron.
If we look at it in practical terms of today, that would mean then if somebody died Erev Yontav or during Yontav, a Chol Hamoed, that means
That's
there
Rashi's
wouldn't be
next
no
line.
Avelos.
That is Rashi's next line, Bavro.
Okay. Yeah,
So have a look
okay.
again at Rashi. Have a look again at Rashi. Hoyel v'nidchu. Once the Avelos has been suspended, that's it. Shelo iniru. It wasn't appropriate lis'abel to mourn b'shas hascholas Avelos at the time that the beginning of the Avelos should have been, which was at stimas ha-goyel. And therefore, Yidchu, it totally gets pushed off and suspended, af la'achar mikan, even afterwards. So, Rashi is teaching us a tremendous yesod, which is really not Rashi's chiddush, it's the Gemara's chiddush. And that is, Avelos has to kick in at Stimas HaGoyim. The all critical moment is Stimas HaGoyim, which, as Rashi explained, means when you put the wooden lid on top of the coffin. If at that moment Avelos could not kick in, why could it not kick in? Because at that moment he was a Rasha. Well, then it never kicks in. So it's totally suspended. So Avram now asked a very valid question, which is what Rashi deals with. What about somebody who passes away on Shabbos or on Yom Tov? We know if somebody passes away on Yom Tov, they may well be a Levaya on Chol HaMoed. There's no Levaya on Yom Tov, but there is a Levaya on Chol HaMoed. So when is the Stimas HaGoyel on Chol HaMoed? But there's no Avelos. So why do we have the Shiva after Yom Tov? Why don't we say the same principle? If everything depends on the golden moment of Stimas HaGoyel, it all depends on that particular second. Well, at the second of Stimas HaGoyel, it was Yom Tov, it was Chol HaMoed. This is Rashi's kasha. Says Rashi. Va'af al gav, even though de gabe, with regard to koiveres mesoi berego, with regard to burying one's relative on Yom Tiv. Tanan, we have learned a Mishnah. Moine Shivo Achar HaRegel. It clearly says that yes, he has to count 7 days after the Yom Tov. He does sit Shiva after the Yom Tov. V'lo Yom Rinon, we don't say over there, Hoyel V'nidchu Yidchu, question mark. Why don't we say over there, sorry, if it's suspended, that's it, game over. It all depends on the moment of Stimus HaGoylol. At Stimus HaGoylol, Lemaisa, it was Yom Tov. Avelus could not kick in over there, so why don't we say it's suspended completely? We don't say that. What do we say? After Yom Tov, then he sits Shiva. So why can't we say the same over here as well? Yes, at Stimus HaGoylol, he was still a Rasha because he hadn't yet got his Kapora. So Avelus can't kick in, so let's wait a bit of time until he has got his Kapora, and then Avelus should kick in, just like with Yom Tov. Says Rashi, no. There's a very fundamental difference. Hosam loy idchu lohu legamri. When somebody passes away, Rachmona Litzlan on Yom Tov, it's actually inaccurate. It's not true to say that Avelus is suspended completely. It's not. Sheharei iske rabim. Noyeg Beregel. There are actually some halachas of Avelus on Yom Tov. Iske Rabim. What does Iske Rabim mean? So we know that when somebody sits Shiva, there's two types of halachas. There's one halachas that pertain to him as an individual. What does he have to do? Take off his shoes and sit on the floor, etc., etc. Then there's another halacha that other people, the Rabim, have to come and comfort him. But those two halachas are not dependent on each other. Even if somebody lived in a desert island and there are no people to come to be menachem, he still sits shiva. He's still got to sit on the floor and still take off his shoes, etc., etc., still tear kriya, etc. So when we say that there's no avelus on a regel, what does that mean, there's no avelus on a regel? With regard to his own private halachas or the rabbim? And the answer is, it only is true with regard to his own private halachas. He does not sit on the floor on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed, but the rabbim do come to mourn and to comfort. Says Rashi, Hosam loy idchu lo legamri. Over there, the halachas of Avelos are not suspended completely. Sheharei iske rabim noyeg beregel, because at least the asik of the rabim, the involvement of the masses, that is practiced on Yom Tov. Shemenachamim oisei kol haregel, they come to comfort him all the regel. Kedamin on Hosam, as it stated there, kol shum shum iske rabim ein horegel mafsikon, Yom Tov does not suspend it. So if that's the case, Rashi has answered the kasha. It's true. Everything depends on Stimus HaGoylol, 100%. That's 100% true. And if at Stimus HaGoylol is no Avelus, then there's no Avelus ever. But on Yom Tov, it's not true to say there's no Avelus. There is. Not complete, but there is partial Avelus. Which means if somebody passes away on Yom Tov, let's say the Levaya is Chol HaMoed, yes, there is an Inyan to go and visit him and comfort him on Yom Tov, even though he is not, as it were, sitting Shiva. So therefore, after Yom Tov, then he will sit Shiva. What was the Kasha? How can you delay the Shiva? Surely if the Avelos didn't kick in, then it should never kick in. The answer is it's true, but there it did kick in. It's true, not completely, but at least with regard to the Iske Rabim. Whereas in the case that we're talking about, when somebody is killed by Bezdin, so at the time of the Stimus HaGoylol, he was a Rosha and there was zero Avelus whatsoever. Not his own halachas of sitting Shiva, not the Rabim's halacha being Menachemim, there was absolutely no Avelus, it was totally suspended. And if it was totally suspended, that's when we apply the principle. Once it was suspended, that's it, the Avelus is totally suspended. I remember in the Gra Shul a number of years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, maybe a bit less, when Rav Vozner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was Nifta. Rav Vozner was Nifta on the night of Seder night, Pesach night, and his Levaya, I was there, was on Motzah Pesach. Now, that's a classic case of what? Yes, the Levaya is on Chol HaMoed, but there's no sitting of Shiva. So I remember in the Gra Shul, we arranged Hespedim. I was Zecher to arrange them, and I asked the son of Rav Vozner, who actually lives in Ramah Aleph, to come and give a Hesped. And when I spoke to him, he said to me, "I'll come and give a Hesped, but I don't know how long I can do so because I'm absolutely exhausted." It was just after the Shiva. I said, "What do you mean? Why is the Rav exhausted?" So he said, "For this reason. Because even though," he said, "we as the family, we only sat Shiva after Pesach. But throughout the course of Chol HaMoed, people were coming in the whole time to be Menachem." So he said, "Basically, I felt like I was sitting Shiva for 2 weeks." So even though practically he was not sitting on the floor for that first week, and he didn't have to remove his shoes, and he didn't have to do Kriya, etc., etc., but he had to, as it were, talk to guests and be Menachemim the whole time, which sometimes can be very draining for an oval. Following Yom Tov, he then actually sat Shiva, and then people again came in. So he said, "I basically feel that I've been sitting Shiva for 2 weeks. I'm absolutely exhausted." So he said, "I can't speak long." And then, of course, he gave a hesped for an hour and a half. Okay. So this is the halacha. This is a very important halacha. Okay, back into Rashi. Ihochi, if that's so, le'inyan kvuras avoisov. If it's true, this we saw yesterday. If it's true that what? That. The kapara does not happen on at ikul habaso. It does not happen in the case of the body decomposing. Rather, when does the kapara happen? It happens after chibut hakeva. So why did they only exhume the body at a later stage? Yachi le'inyan kvuras avoisav, with regard to reburying him, exhuming him, and then putting him in his regular family's keva. Why did they wait? Lomalila hamtin. Why did they wait for ikul abasa? The answer is mishum deloy efsha. Not a halachic reason, just practical concerns. Mishum deloy efsha litloy. It's not possible to take a body whilst it's only partially composed. Mishum denivka kresoy, because then the whole stomach could just open or masriach, and it's despicable. So therefore, just for practical reasons, it's not shayach to transport and exhume the body if it hasn't totally decomposed. But essentially, halachically, it would be mutter. Just practically, it's not possible.
Can I
Okay.
ask a
Yes.
it's not really strictly relevant, but if in fact the Misa is before Yom Tov, and then as it were, and you already, I suppose, you're already sitting Shiva, then Yom Tov, when it occurs, will cancel the rest of the Shiva.
Correct. That's a different halacha. Correct. If
Yeah.
somebody sits Shiva even for a moment before Yom Tov, then come Yom Tov cancels the Shiva. That's a different halacha. Not because the Avelos never kicked in. It did kick in. But Yom Tov, as opposed to Shabbos does not cancel the Shiva. It's true they don't sit Shiva on Shabbos, but it doesn't cancel the Shiva. But Yom Tov abrupts, it mafsik the Shiva. And that's only when they started sitting Shiva. And therefore, if somebody passed away on Yom Tov, as mentioned, like Rav Vozner, so then you can't say that Yom Tov breaks the Shiva because they haven't even started sitting Shiva. They only started sitting Shiva after Yom Tov. They only started Shiva after Yom Tov, then Yom Tov cannot break it. Okay, back into the Gemara. So these were the Rashis that we still wanted to learn, yes, from yesterday. Says Rashi, says the Gemara, we're up to the Gemara where it says, Kivrei de Rav. You have those words? First words on the line, Deloy Efshar. Says the Gemara, Kivrei de Rav. Rabbi Yosef, if you'd like to translate these words for us, in the grave of Rav, have a shokli mine afra le ishta bas yoimo. How do you translate that?
I'll read out the whole thing. It happened that people would take earth from the grave of Rav to cure their one-day-old fever.
It was considered, as we'll see in a second in Rashi, for some reason the earth of the grave of Rav was considered to have some type of medicinal properties and could cure. That's what it means. Kivrei de Rav have a shokli minei. They would take from it, afra earth, le'ishta bas yoima, for the one-day illness. They had some sort of temporary condition, and this offer would cure it, says Rashi. Le'ishta bas yoima b'yoim rishon shalah, on the first day, v'hein misrapin, and they would be healed by oisei offer with this earth. Says the Gemara, Amru lei l'Shmuel. So they reported this to Shmuel. Now, why did they have to report it? So look at Rashi. Amru lei l'Shmuel mishum de meis, because the halacha is that a dead body, v'kol hanach hanikvar boy, and anything that he's buried with, whether it's the coffin or the earth, is Isurei Hana Ninhu. It's Isurei Hana. You're not allowed to benefit from it. The Gomar, as we're going to see later on, shame, shame, shom, shom, me Egla Arufa. We learn from Egla Arufa, we'll see this later on, that there is a halacha, that a dead body, so too not only a dead body, but anything to do with his burial, is all asa bahana. So if it's asa bahana, now we understand. That's why they reported it to Shmuel. How could these people be taking earth in order to use it for their refuah? But surely the earth should be considered asa bahana. Says the Gemara, what did Shmuel respond? Don't worry. Omar lohu, he said to them, Yo'ois Ovdin. What does Yo'ois mean? Like we say on Seder night, Kiloi Yo'e, Kiloi Noe. Yo'e means beautiful or nice or appropriate. Yo'ois Ovdin, what they're doing is appropriate. It's 100% fine. Why? Didn't we say that a dead body is asabano, and so to everything it's buried with? So he says, Yo'ois Avdin, what they're doing is okay. It's perfectly acceptable. Why? Because karka oilom hu, because it's merely karka. It's merely karka. The karka oilom eino ne'eseres. The karka never became awesome. So whilst it may well be true that the dead body itself, you can't benefit from the dead body, which is, by the way, a huge, huge halachic discussion, doing all types of autopsies, or taking transplant, taking limbs from a dead body. Right? In some circles, the dead person, the deceased, has signed a card in his lifetime saying, I hereby grant permission for his heart to be taken, his brain, his kidney, whatever, to be transplanted to somebody who needs it. So, of course, in halacha, this is a very, very difficult. So again, it's based on our Gemara. According to what we're seeing, our Gemara should be totally asa to do, because a mace is asa bahana. Can't benefit. Unless you say that no, it would be mutter, because if you're transplanting a kidney to somebody, it's pikuach nefesh. So maybe the halacha of pikuach nefesh would override this halacha, like pikuach nefesh overrides every halacha. Al Kaponim is a very, very important yesod. Says Shmuel, yes, it's true that you cannot have benefit from a mace, but karka oilom, mere karka, is no problem to have hana from. Why? How do you know? Says the Gemara, diksiv, it's a pasuk in Malachim, vayashlech es aforom al kever bnei Adam. They threw off our earth on the Kaver, it's not Bnei Adam, Bnei Ha'am, Makish. So we're comparing Kaver Bnei Ha'am La'avoidas Koichovim. That was the discussion in that pasuk. There is a comparison between a Kaver and Avodah Zarah. What is the comparison between a Kaver and Avodah Zarah? Says the Gemara. Ma avoidas koichovim b'mechubar loy mitzera. We know that as a halacha, similar to a keva, avoda zara is asa b'hanah. If somebody would bow down to an animal and make the animal in the avoda zara, what's the halacha? That animal now is asa b'hanah. That's the halacha. Avoda zara is asa b'hanah. However, that only applies to movable objects. So if a person bows down to an animal or to a table or to a coat, whatever it may be, then that article, that item now becomes asa b'hanah. But however, if he bows down to something which is mechubar lekarka, something that's connected to a ground, he bows down to a house or to a tree or to a mountain, then that does not become asa b'hanah. As the Gemara explains, it does not become osa, prohibited, if it is connected to the ground. The ksiv, we learn it from a pasuk. It says, "Asher atem yershim oisam es al haharim haramim al haharim veloi." It's talking about there where Klal Yisrael will come into Eretz Yisrael, and it says you've got to get rid of all the Avodah Zarah. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is Al Haharim, on top of the mountains. Look, search well, there may be Avodah Zarah on top of the mountains. And the drasha we make there is Al Haharim Eloheihem. We're only concerned with Avodah Zarah that is situated on top of the mountains, but the mountain itself doesn't concern us. Because even if it's true that they bow down to a mountain and they made that Avodah Zarah, but it doesn't become Asa B'hanah. Says the Gemara again, what's the drasha? Al Haharim Eloheihem, on top of the mountain there may be their gods, but V'loi Haharim, but not the actual mountains Eloheihem. So if we have a comparison from Avodah Zarah to a kever, just like in the case of Avodah Zarah, the halacha is that what? That if it's an immovable object like a piece of karka that cannot be considered over Avodah Zarah, so if somebody bows down to a mountain or bows down to a house or to a tree, it will not become asa. Why? Because it is connected to the ground. So by virtue of the comparison from Avodah Zarah to keva, what do we learn? The same halacha applies also to a kever. That even though a dead body is asa b'hanah, but that which is part of the ground does not become asa b'hanah. And that's what Shmuel was responding. There's no need to be concerned by the fact that people are taking earth from the kever of Rav in order to use it for refuah. It's asa b'hanah. The answer is not asa b'hanah, because just like avodah zarah doesn't apply to what's connected to the ground, so too a kever as well. And that's what the Gemara is saying.
Question.
Hachanami Yerevra.
What about an Asherah?
Asherah tree. I'm not sure why that's an exception. It's a good question. Unless my example before was not a good example of a tree. Maybe it's only if it's literally earth or ground. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So either way, so Shmuel now justified what they did. Yes, you cannot have benefit from a kever, as it were, from the dead body and anything that he's buried with, the shrouds, etc., etc. But from the earth, there's no problem. How do I know? Because we have a pasuk that compares Avodah Zarah to a keva. Just like Avodah Zarah does not apply to Mechubal HaKarka, so to the keva, Isura HaNov, the keva does not apply to that which is connected to the ground. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara Kasha. Meisvei. Hachoytzev kevam. If somebody digs out a grave, la'ovev for his father. V'holach v'kivroi b'mokim acher. And he then went and he buried his father in another grave. So he designated one grave, he dug it out, in the end, for whatever reason, he buried the father in a different cave. So this, initially, the first grave can never be buried in, can never be used. So what's the kasha? What do you see from there? That it seems to be that it's asa bahano, but why indeed should it be asa bahano? It's connected to the ground. It's true, a mace is asa bahano, the shrouds, the oroin, but those are all movable objects. Why are we saying that the actual kever is now asa bahano? Why is it asa bahano? It's connected to the ground. Answers the Gemara, Hocha b'maya skinon. Do you know what it's talking about there? Bekever binyan. A kever binyan is not just a grave in the ground, it's a grave on which they had a whole construction on top of it. And in the case of Avodah Zarah, that would become asa. So maybe that's the answer again to Rav Ram's kasha. When we say that which is connected to the ground cannot be considered avodah zarah, that's only when it's literally ground, like a mountain. Mountain is ground, or the earth in the case of Rav's kever. But if you build a building, although that's actually it's connected to the ground, but it's not karka. So therefore, here we're talking about, it says you can't use the grave. It means because you actually built a construction on top of it. Look at Rashi. Bekever binyan shebonoi lemalo min hakarka. They constructed this whole erection above the karka. Dichvosei, because the equivalent b'avodah zarah, if it would be a bias shebonoi mitchila l'avodah zarah, asur. Why would it be awesome? How do you construct a house or some sort of a building? You take movable objects like bricks and then you connect them to the ground. So these items initially began as non-connected to the ground. Now you connected the bricks to the ground like every building. Says Rashid, Halacha is tolush ula b'soif chibroi. When you have something which is disconnected to the ground and then you connect it to the ground, hava tolush. That's still considered to be disconnected to the ground. If it is the ground itself, that always was connected to the ground. But if you have bricks and you made that into the house, it began its life as tolush. So it's always considered tolush le'inin avodah zarah. The kever nami iskish avodah zarah. And a kever, as we've said, is also compared to avodah zarah. So when it says that you cannot use this kever, that's because we're not just talking about a piece of land. Were it just to be a piece of land, then you're 100% right, you're allowed to use it because then... then you'd be allowed to use it. Why? Because it's just karka. And karka doesn't become asa. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when they dug a keva and then they erected a whole oil and a building. That has the halachic status of tolush, which means disconnected to the ground, even though physically it's now connected. And that indeed is asa bahano. So therefore, coming back to our story, when they took earth from Rav's keva, that's no problem, because that really is part of the ground. Part of the ground that does not become asa bahano, just like in the case of avodah zarah. But when you build something on top of the ground, because it initially began disconnected to the karka, so even though now physically you've connected it, but it retains the status of disconnected, and therefore would indeed become asa bahano. Okay, we're going to press pause over here. Ms. Hashem will carry on next time.
Okay.
Be well, everybody. Have a great day.